Hello and welcome to The Gist. I'm your host, Chris Petrano, here every week to break down all the things that are happening in pop culture and interviewing the people that make it pop. Today, we're covering the state of Bravo, okay? So it's like the State of the Union, but first of all, I'm not the president. There will be no one standing after every point I make to clap, but I mean, if you're able to, go for it. If you agree, you know, give me applause. I'm all for it. But what I am going to do is I'm going to share the top 10 things that I feel like Bravo needs to change. So it's going to be my version of a State of a Union address. And look, my takes here might be unpopular, but
that's my opinion!
So let's get right into it, shall we? Honestly, the reason that this whole kind of episode is coming to be is because things are looking a little grim. As our housewives are being put on hiatus, our regular series schedules are dwindling. I mean, do you remember the days? Man, they were good days. We had so much content on Bravo. It was like we were getting 2 to 3 housewives per week. We had Below Decks and Vanderpump Rules and Winter Houses, Summer Houses. We were loaded with content. And I feel like our schedules are just not as full of content, and it's worrying me. So it really got me thinking about, like, what's working, what's not. And that's why I'm going to deliver my state of helping Bravo out with the 10 things that I think that they need to change. So here we go. The first thing, number 10, is we need to remove the moles. Okay, I'm not talking about going to the dermatologist. I am talking about the people that are on these casts that can't shut their mouths, because too often we know way too much about what to expect from the upcoming seasons of these shows. And then by the time it lands on our screens, I feel like we're over it, or we learn that it wasn't as interesting as it sounded online. I mean, think back to the Lisa Rinna, Kathy Hilton feud. We had heard this like incredible story of Kathy Hilton losing her mind in some Aspen bar that we thought we were going to get to see on the show. And ultimately what we found out is that something did sort of transpire. Cameras weren't up for it. And Lisa Rinna has this like insane story of all these events that occurred that nobody can actually verify. And it just like, it fell so flat. And you know, when we think about like this last season of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, it was so good because we didn't really know about the reality Von T's of it all until it was revealed. There was like little like murmurs online that like, is Monica a troll, or that something might happen with Monica? But ultimately, nobody from that cast spilled the beans before the season came out. And so we got to watch it and get surprised, and our jaws were on the floor, and it felt real. It felt like they were dealing with something that was really happening. And, you know, I mean, I will have to say too, on Beverly Hills, we're not getting a lot of these like stories and these like leaked storylines the way that we did when Rinna was on the show. So it definitely points to her as being the mole, but there are still people in these casts that are doing that. I feel like the Southern Charms and the Summer Houses, there's like definitely a lot of people that have relationships now with Bravo accounts online and the press, and they're oversharing, like, this is what happened over the season. This is what you guys are going to look forward to. They're hinting at little feuds that are happening, and then the internet is going wild. And so we need to stop that. If we're going to be surprised, and if we're going to get to watch these shows real time, we need to go into them without preconceived notions of what we're about to watch. So number 10, remove the moles. Number 9, break the fourth wall. Can we bring that fucking wall down? I mean, seriously, we all love our hot mic moments. We love the moments where the producers have to jump in to a scene to save it or pull people apart or whatever it may be. And it's now happening so often that I feel like we just need to address the producer in the room. We need to change. Reality TV is changing. You know, if you think back to what the Real Housewives of Orange County was, I mean, even the first seasons of New York and Jersey and Atlanta, they were shot differently. They were shot more documentary style in a way. Like, it wasn't so glitzy. It wasn't so overproduced. It didn't have storyline. It was like truly following these women. Well, we're at another sort of point of reality TV evolving. We need to address that there are producers and that there is a show that these people are filming. You know, I think on Vanderpump Rules, I feel this happening, especially right now, like post Scandoval, is like, rather than just talk, like, why is Lala calling Rachel in the first scene? It's because they're trying to get her back on the show. And I feel like we need to just address that. They need to say, like, hey, Lisa needs to sit down with the cast and say, look, Tom's on the show with you guys. Rachel, we want to be back on the show so that we can like tell the story and pick up where this stuff goes from here. And you guys need to find a way in for these people so that we're, I mean, it just makes no sense. And it's like, if we're just pretending like, oh, everyone wants to be friends with Tom Sandoval after they annihilated him at the reunion, it's like, it doesn't make sense to us as viewers. It's like, stop. And so I think that that's what is really part of it, is like, we are so unwilling to address the fact that we're filming a show. And the other area where this really comes to light is, you know, when you look at Beverly Hills, how they addressed everything that went on with Kyle and Mauricio and everything that like goes on, they don't ever address that, like, oh, the stories are breaking and we have to pick cameras back up. And they don't do it in this way of acknowledging that, like, we have a show to produce. And on Buying Beverly Hills, we actually get a scene where the story breaks and they're filming and Kyle has to talk about, like, I have to go back and film the show. And, you know, when something happens in my life, I have to be available to go talk about it in order to continue to be on this show. And she's breaking the fourth wall in a way that is acknowledging that this is part of their jobs. This is part of their life now. And I think we need more of that. So number 9, break the fourth wall. Number 8, give us every damn episode of every frickin' show. Actually, let me rephrase. Give us every damn episode of every fucking show unedited on Peacock, okay? We're getting the reunions unedited now, and it is giving life to these shows in a way that I didn't know that it could. I didn't realize that hearing the cussing and hearing the things that are normally bleeped out on Bravo, like, actually does change the way that I'm consuming the show. So this is an easy one. Just start giving the uncensored episodes to Peacock. You know, I get that you can't put everything on the Bravo network, but on Peacock, it's streaming. And so give it to us. If you can give us the reunion, surely you can give us the rest of the episodes. So do it. And I also want the back catalog fully uncensored as well. So that's number 8. Number 7, we need more variety in the programming. You know, I feel like they've really honed in on the Housewives, and then they, from there, you know, created the Vanderpump Rules, and that had such success that we went into Southern Charm and Summer House and Winter House, and, you know, we're getting so focused on, like, let's show these ensemble casts living their lives as friends in all of these different ways. And, you know, like the Girlfriends in Paris, or what are some of the other ones, like NYC Prep. And, you know, you look back at like some of these like old legacy shows that, oh God, what was the one I loved about the Jewish princesses? Oh, I can't remember the name of it, but it was literally one of my favorite shows on Bravo. And I can't believe that they didn't bring it back, but they needed, at the time, that was like what we really wanted, was these groups of friends. And, you know, Sex and the City was the kind of all the rage. And, you know, and so it's like people wanted to see these groups of friends together living their lives. And with Housewives, it was like seeing these women live their extravagant lives as housewives. But we need more than that. and we need to see other things. I think that's why Below Deck is doing really well right now, because it kind of gives us like a Bridgerton, not Bridgerton, Downton Abbey sort of vibe of like the downstairs and the upstairs, the elites and the non-elites. And, you know, there's something a little bit different to that. But what I miss from Bravo is, where's my matchmaking series with Patty Stinger? Where is my Tabitha? Hello, where is Tabitha taking over? I need to know where she's taking over next. Come have her take over my house. I don't care. I want to see Tabitha back on the screens. Like, that was entertaining. We had the Project Runways and Queer Eyes, and we had all of these things on Bravo at one point. Now, most of them are on other networks. But like, bring back variety. Give us a morning show. Give us something different. I mean, these, again, like, reality TV is changing, and we need to like bring some additional things into the format. And, you know, honestly, like, look at Traitors. Why do we think that Traitors is so successful? Okay, it's incredible. And whoever thought of it, love of them. I am so grateful for the Traitors this year, but part of the reason that I think that it is doing so well is that it is truly like something different. It's giving us these characters that we love and our housewives and our, you know, reality TV players, but we're getting to see them in a different way. House of Villains on E! Is another one where it's like, it's bringing all of these players together that we love from our documentaries or our docu-series, reality series that we love. But we're getting to see them compete, and we're getting to see them in different sort of ways. And I love that. So Bravo, give us more variety. All right. Number six, Let the Mouse Go. Okay. Let the mouse go, as Sutton would say. And what I mean by that is, we need to put these housewives to work. And when they won't, let them go. I don't know why. And it seems like in some cases we are doing that, right? Like, you know, people are like, oh, Anne-Marie fell really flat on Beverly Hills this year. And so she got fired immediately. I think that she got fired for other reasons. I think that there was a lot of problematic behavior. I think that there was obviously the scandal with her husband. I think that there was reasons that Bravo was like, yeah, we're not going to invest in her the way that we thought we were. And they let her go for those reasons, not necessarily because she was boring or because she refused to film with other people. So I'm just going to give you, just from our housewives, like, there are people in some of the other casts that I think we need to say farewell to, but here's just the housewives that I think we're ready to say goodbye. Potomac, okay? Candace, Wendy, Ashley, and Robin, sayonara. Okay, I feel like the producers or the casting, I don't know who is making this decision, but they've really relied on the fact that like, we have the OGs from Potomac. So many of them have made it so many seasons that that's kind of the story about Potomac, is like, it's so great because look at all of these people that have lasted so long on the show. But I'm sorry, like, I mean, Candace and Wendy are not part of the OG group, but they are both, like, Wendy has gotten too big for her britches. She doesn't even know what she came on with degrees and she has left with like 19 jobs. Okay. I don't think she even knows what she does anymore. I don't think she knows what her doctorate is in. I don't think that she knows what her degrees are for. She's got candles and talk shows and Happy and Ness. She's got so many things, but none of them are exciting television. I'll tell you that much. So, and she's so like, I'm not going to film with this person. I'm like, she just doesn't have anything to give. And I'm sorry. I'm a Candace stan, but this last season, yeah, she just, you can't decide I'm not going to be willing to move forward with my coworker, and that can't be okay. Ashley has given us the same storyline for years and years, and we aren't getting anywhere. Robin, same thing. We all know that this relationship with Juan is not good. And if you aren't willing to talk about it and give us something different, then like, let's move forward without you. Okay. I would put Giselle on this list, But I actually think that, like, especially after watching the reunion, like, if we could get Giselle and Karen as a power duo, like, I'm here for it. And I would like to actually see Giselle without Robin. So I'm going to let Giselle go another season. I know that that's going to be an unpopular opinion. But that's Potomac. Beverly Hills, no, Kyle, sorry, you refuse to tell us what's going on in your life. I got way more about what's going on in your world from buying Beverly Hills. And if you're not willing to give it to us on Bravo, on the show that we invested in you on, then it's time for you to hit pause and go figure out what's next for you. Dorit, you're giving us nothing. I think that if we build the show around Crystal and Sutton and Garcelle, I think that we're going somewhere. Erica, you know, she's had a bit of a redemption season. She was a little quiet at the reunion. I'll give her another pass as well, because I think, like Giselle, if Erica comes to play with the new sort of dynamics, it could work. So that's my Beverly Hills take. New York, we've got a new cast. So, you know, but I am going to say bringing back Jenna is a bold choice. It is something that Bravo is saying, okay, we're bringing back the whole cast again to give them another go, but Jenna better be ready to work. Okay. She's very respected. I like her. I feel like if I met Jenna in real life, I'd be like very intrigued by her. But her first season as a housewife, like, did not go for me. I wasn't like a Jenna stan as a Housewives fan. So, like, especially when you've got the OGs, you've got a Dorinda and a Countess Luann and a Sonia Morgan waiting in the wings, ready to work, ready to put in the time, the effort. I'm sorry, you don't show up at BravoCon and you essentially talk about how you're better than the Housewives shows. Like, Jenna is, she clearly, they gave her an offer she couldn't refuse, but she's already said she's not willing to put her relationship on the show. And I think that that is a mistake. She's not willing to, like, show us her reality. And I don't know why she's back if that's the case. So I will, you know, we'll see how this season goes, but I think it's a bold choice to bring her back. You know, New Jersey, again, remains to be seen because we're about to get the Jersey season. You know, it's coming very soon, but we already know that, you know, Marge, Melissa, Rachel, like, these people are unwilling to sort of, like, film with Teresa. And I know Teresa is also unwilling to film with them. And that, like I said, you can't do that. But here's the difference between, and we're going to get into this in another episode, because I've got an episode coming that's going to be all about Melissa and Teresa and the two sides of this fence. But Teresa gives us storyline. These others, the storyline is Teresa. And so I don't know what we are in for this season, but if they're all still talking about Teresa and then Teresa's just like, yeah, I don't film with them and they're not part of my life, she's giving us her reality. They're giving us what they think that they need to give us for the show. So I'm going to call it. I think that Marge, Melissa, and Rachel at least go next season and we rebuild. I want Dolores. I want Teresa. I want their friendship back. I want, you know, potentially some new dynamics in the mix. I think Jennifer Aiden stays. You know, I think we could, like, reinvigorate Jersey, but I do think that this has to end. And Andy Cohen himself had said, the way that we did it this season, where they refused to film with each other and we shot sort of two different things, that will not sustain itself, but it will give us a good season. And then from here, there's going to be decisions made. So we shall see where that goes. OC, why are Gina and Emily still there? I don't understand. And they, I'm literally at a loss, as you can tell. I don't understand how these people have lasted so long. These women have not given us a whole lot. And I honestly, like, nothing even really against them. I just don't have any, like, I don't have any storylines that I've been like, wow, they've made excellent, you know, Monica can't come back, but Gina and Emily are still on the cast. Like, Monica is one of the best season or one season housewives that we've ever had. Carlton on Beverly Hills, one season. God, I feel like there was even, I even feel like Dr. Jen, do you remember her? The plastic surgeon, she, or was she a plastic surgeon? I don't remember. I know she was Dr. Jen and she had that husband, Ryan. And then they got separated, but I heard that they're actually like reconciling maybe. But even she, I feel like, could have had a second season and we maybe learn more about her and we like get invested. Gina and Emily have been there for years and I feel like they're just side players, like they're friends of. So I don't know. I mean, I am glad that Tamara's back. I think we're in for, you know, a good like Tamara, Shannon, Heather. I like seeing that dynamic together. So I'm excited about what we have for OC to come, but I think that we need to let the mouse go with Gina and Emily. Miami is, it's on fire. I mean, Miami is en fuego in so many ways, but Alexia and Marisol, I don't think they put in the work as much anymore. I think that it's feeling like it's going to fall flat. So I'm ready to maybe think about their departures, though I don't think that we need a ton of changes on Miami. But also Lisa, her storyline is old. I can't go another season talking about Lenny. Okay, so it's like the Ashley Darby. Like, we can't talk about Michael anymore. Like, we've got to move on from these relationships. Like, we can't have 3-4 seasons about the same thing and feel bad for you anymore. So it's like, that's where we're headed with Miami, but I don't think we need a lot of like immediate changes there. Salt Lake City, I've already said it. I think that we didn't bring Monica back is a bit of a mistake because like a lot of people said Sandoval shouldn't have been invited back to Vanderpump Rules this year because everyone hated him on the cast and where was he going to go? But I also think that would have been a bad decision to like, I think that as a human, I'm not a big Sandoval fan. You know, he's kind of the villain on the show, but you need that. You need a villain. And we as viewers need to kind of see how he attempts to rebuild and show remorse and or lack of, you know, like this is what we need in the show. And the fact that Monica is not there to like to pick up her pieces and see if she can find her way back into the group, like I think that was a bit of a mistake that they, and part of that mistake is that the cast said will not film with her. And I believe, if you know the blogs are true, that Heather Gay led the charge on that. And Heather, I'm sorry, but you can't dictate who you will and won't film with. And so if that's where we're headed, like Heather's going to have to like get, she's going to have to be the mouse in this cast, and we're going to have to let her go, because I love a Heather Gay when Heather Gay's willing to play, but saying I'm not going to film with someone that, you know, did this awful thing potentially, I don't buy it, because we also, you're best friends with Jen Shaw, you know? And it's like, so I don't know. I'm nervous about Salt Lake City because I don't know where we go, because we had such an incredible season. And I'm not even just talking about the reality Von Teese. Like, there was so much this season that gave that cast together. And you know, the Lisa and Monica and the Lisa and Whitney and, you know, seeing Lisa and Heather to come together finally after all these years. I mean, there was so much that it gave that I'm honestly like nervous about where we go from here, because I don't know that we can top it. But I'm going to also hold my opinions until we get the show. Although I think their cash trip was like something real bad. It was like to Milwaukee or something. And it's like, why are the OC women like taking international flights? And we have, And we have the Salt Lake City women in Milwaukee. So that also scares me. And then Atlanta, you know, we don't have who has made it on the cast. We heard the cast was going to be a big shakeup. We know, you know, Marlo and Candy are both out. We know Portia is back in. But I think my sort of opinion on this is if Kenya is not ready to, you know, get Gone with the Wind fabulous and twirl her way back into this new season, then she's got to go, because last season it was a bore. It was a snooze fest. She didn't deliver. And so, yeah, we'll see. Maybe she is gone. She hasn't announced it yet, but if she's not, and they're bringing her back to like go with, to, you know, be on screen with Portia, then she better be ready to bring the Kenya Moore that we all came to know and love. So time will tell. All right. So these next four kind of go together, and you'll understand why, because number five is receipts. Okay. So you know where I'm going with this. But the receipts, okay. The cardboard cutouts, the binders, the blow up text messages on, you know, printed out printer paper. It's too much. Like, housewives don't need props. When Candace reached behind the couch and brought out that huge cardboard cutout of, I don't even know what she was trying to show. It was like some kind of screenshot of something. And she, you know, had to bring this huge thing. And she even said, oh, I was going to bring an easel, but it would have been too big. And Andy's like, yeah, like, no, don't bring an easel. We don't, if you need a prop to defend your position and you need, you know, these receipts, then you're not able to defend yourself. And housewives know how to defend themselves. They defend themselves to the end. They know how to throw shade. I mean, these are the things that make a good housewife. And I'm sorry, if you need a prop to prove yourself, I don't need it. So receipts have got to go. Next is proof. Okay, authenticity. There's a lot of manufactured drama happening on these shows, and especially as the stars have learned to manipulate their storylines. I'm sorry, we see through it now. We want the real stories. We want the real deals. I just feel like there's so much of this that has lost its authenticity. And again, when you look back at like how housewives were back in the day, Vicki Gunvalson showing up at CU Boulder to like do keg stands with her son in the frat house. Like, it was epic. It was like a real thing that she was doing, and we enjoyed watching it. Now it's like everyone's figured out how to manipulate each other and the producers and what they will put on and what they won't put on. And it's not. So you've got your receipts, you've got your proof. Now we've got our number three, timelines. The editing on these shows is taking way too long, okay? We're getting real-time updates about the cast filming, so we need to see this stuff happening on our screens as a fast follow. An audio leaked recently of Tamra and Shannon fighting in a London restaurant on their cast trip. Sounds like an incredible fight. It sounds like we're going to be in for a really epic showdown. But if I have to wait a year to watch that showdown happen, it's too late, because I already now know these women are feuding. I've already come to my own sort of, you know, conclusions about things. This is a major problem. And I've talked about this on the show before. And I think it's a big reason why they've said that Winter House is put on pause. I think Paige said that it actually is canceled. But I truly think that it's like we're watching Summer House right now, and it's spring. It is like it's almost summer. This means that this is a year old. And I get it. They want to like give us like Summer House. They want to put the time in to edit and put together the right show and make sure. But we already know that Carl and Lindsay didn't walk down the aisle. We already know that all these things happen. And the cast is talking about it. They're living their lives. They're going on tours and writing books and have their own podcasts. And they're doing all these things. And you can't stop the narrative from happening in between these seasons. And, you know, the other thing that we have seen now several times over the last year or two is that we are picking cameras back up. You just saw it on Potomac. After cameras stopped, Mia and Gordon announced they were getting divorced. So cameras have to come back up to get everybody's reaction. Same thing happened on Atlanta, Drew Sidora. Same thing happened on Beverly Hills, Mauricio and Kyle. Like, Scandoval happened after cameras stopped. So they had to pick it all back up to put it back in our, like, to give us that story as part of the season. This needs like a real retooling. And I'm hoping, you know, I've also said, we're not getting a ton of our housewives in production right now. New York is about to pick up cameras. I think Atlanta is too. But you're looking at, like, we have Jersey and Dubai, and then we don't have anything until probably Salt Lake City and OC, like, in the fall. And so, like, we don't have a lot of the housewives content that we're used to, and they're usually churning these ones out. But I'm hoping that the reason they're doing it is because they are trying to figure out this whole editing situation. Because I'm going to, if they haven't figured this out, or if they are working on it, and they're, you know, if anyone has an ear at someone at Bravo, here's my hot take. How are we getting, like, real-time updates? How are we, like, getting the season to start while it's airing? Because there are other shows that have done this, and they have done it well, where they start a season and the cast is still filming the rest of it, and it starts to, like, you start to see it happening, and then things start happening for later in the season, and then they're getting mad because they saw something on TV that, you know, that happened, and they can start talking again, breaking the fourth wall and being like, yeah, I saw that this person in their confessional started talking about me and saying all these things. So I'm going to go confront them at our finale party. You know, it's like, then we don't have to pick up cameras. We can get right to these things. I even think that, like, it's why some of the reunions have been feeling a little flat, is because there's so much time in between filming and recording the reunion that it's like, yeah, we filmed that so long ago, and, like, yes, we had to watch it all again, and, like, it brings up some of the, like, feelings again. But in some cases, I think people are moving on. Like, the world's moving fast. So we've got to figure this out. Like, if we're going to do Summer House, we got to be, like, in the summer, right? Like, I want to see Summer House in September, and I want them to have filmed it in July, okay? Like, I want these things to turn around much faster. So yeah, timelines, we've got to figure it out. So number 5, receipts. Number 4, proof. Number 3, timelines. And number 2, that means it is screenshots. And this is part of the problem that I think is happening with Bravo right now, is the Bravo fandom has become rampant, and I'm a part of the problem, okay? Hi, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me, okay? I'm talking about Bravo on this podcast. I'm interacting with a lot of you on social media. I am talking about these shows. Bravo fandom is, I mean, BravoCon is feeding that fan base. But, you know, I think what's happening now is that we all have questions and we all have theories and we're all delivering on all of these things online. And I think that, like, what we're not doing is addressing what the fans actually want. And I think that's why we are turning on so many of these shows, is because we want to see things, or we're creating narratives and theories, and fans are now part of the storyline. And I'm sorry, there are people that say that was the problem about Monica, is that she was running a troll account on Jen Shah, who is a Bravo star. And it was like, you know, tagging in Bravo accounts and, you know, being a part of that Bravo community. But that is the reality of what is happening. That is the reality Von Teese of it all, okay? Is that it is the reality of this world that we are in with Bravo, is that the fans and the people that are running these accounts online, and we are the part of the show. We are part of the experience now. And that is something that I don't know that Bravo is, like, really acknowledging in the right ways. I think that they, you know, sugarcoat a lot of what they're holding. I mean, I, you know, won't speak badly about like the press team. I've had some Bravo stars on this podcast, but there are things that, like, if I ask a certain question, I know that I'm not going to get to give it to all of you, because if we start talking about breaking the fourth wall too much, or if we talk about various things that didn't happen on the season, you know, we can't do that. And I think that that's like part of the problem. And then, you know, we all online are, you know, sending Andy questions for the reunions and Watch What Happens Lives. But then the questions aren't getting asked. And I've heard a lot about, like, why isn't Andy holding these people accountable more, or holding their feet to the fire more on these things that we want to know about? Anne Marie is a great example. We've got this big scandal that breaks around her husband. And yes, it's controversial, and maybe we don't want to address it, but the fans want to know what in the hell happened there. And if we're not giving the fans that, we want to find it elsewhere. We want to figure out, like, it's like, give us something or don't, you know? Give me Barbara Walters and a clock, and I'll give you 60 minutes of truth, okay? That is what we need on Bravo right now. We need the screenshots. We need the things that are happening in these people's lives that we want answers to. We want to hold their feet to the fire a little bit more. And that's number two. And then, so we, again, our top five: receipts, proof, timeline, screenshots. And now the number one thing that Bravo needs to do: find a permanent home for Phaedra Parks to thrive. Okay, Bravo, let her live. We need our Phaedra. And again, we were so consumed by, like, what Candy wanted on Atlanta. And I love Candy, and I get that what Phaedra did to her was possibly unforgivable. But we refused to bring Phaedra back into our lives because of it. And then the minute that we started to, with Ultimate Girls Trip and Dubai, and, you know, all of a sudden we started being like, oh, we might need Phaedra back. And then Traitors was, oh, chef's kiss. That show, I mean, the show itself, of course, you know how I feel about it. But I mean, Phaedra on that show is a queen. She is the queen of reality TV. And then we put her on Married to Medicine. And by the way, love Married to Medicine. Married to Medicine is one of the shows that has been delivering better than a lot of the others. I go into a Married to Medicine season and I don't know anything about the storylines happening. I, you know, am getting real things that are happening. It doesn't feel, we're breaking the fourth wall at times. We're talking about, you know, going on these trips, and we know that it's like a cash trip. And, you know, there are things that Married to Medicine is doing very well. But Phaedra fell flat on that show because she doesn't have an authentic relationship. And so they tried to manufacture her. So find her a permanent home. And if it's, you know, call it Phaedra's family, okay? I don't care what it is. I need Phaedra on the show. I need her on my screen in as many ways as we can possibly. You know what? I've heard that, like, people have been calling for Andy to maybe step down from Watch What Happens Live. Maybe we need Phaedra to host it, okay? I don't care how you give her to me, but Bravo, find her a permanent home and let her live. And that's it. That is my State of the Union address about where we're at with Bravo and the 10 things that I think that they need to consider to take in to Q2, H2, whatever you want to call it, the rest of this year, and make some improvements, make some adjustments, and bring us back, because we love you. And at the end of the day, you know, Bravo, I love you so much. That's why I'm here talking about you. But I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried about where some of this stuff goes, and I wanted to address it today. So anyways, that's my takes. And thanks so much for listening. Until next week, guys, I just couldn't be more thrilled. I do want to just plug that we have Jersey coming up, and I am actually, like, pretty excited about it, because I always am. Jersey was always one of my faves except for those seasons that we don't talk about. But Jersey delivers, and I just like, I'm really hopeful. I'm feeling like I know that there's going to be a lot of like strange dynamics with some of the cast not filming with each other, but I almost feel like maybe that does really work. Maybe that's part of the changes that we need more of. So I don't know, but that's it. Thanks so much again for listening. You have hot takes about Bravo, share them with me on socials. You can find me at CM Vetrano. And until next week, we will talk soon. Bye.